Hey everyone, welcome to Kamloops Alliance Church. My name is Chris, I'm the lead pastor. We're so glad that you're tuning in with us this weekend. If you're new, if you're checking us out in Kamloops, around the world, whatever it is, we're just honored that you'd spend time with us today. Just a housekeeping item, just a real ministry highlight. Life groups are a heartbeat ministry of our church. If you want relational connection, scripture, prayer, known and being known, life groups are it. It's really cool that all of our life groups are continuing to meet in some fashion, whether it's phone call or Zoom calls, whatever that is. But we are launching 4 online groups this week for you, for new people, checking out our community, isolated, lonely. Maybe you've been a part of our community for a while and you just have never had the time and it's been too awkward with your schedule. 4 groups are launching this week online for you to check Jesus out, check our church out, get connected. This is for you. It's perfect. Go on our website, kamloopsalliance.com, online ministries, and you will find there what you need to sign up. Go to online life groups, sign up. A leader will get in touch with you, answer your questions, make you feel comfortable, and get you signed up for these groups. We are starting a series called Unstoppable Truth this weekend. In uncertain times, when things feel shaky, Jesus is firm. You bet your life on him. This is unstoppable truth. And so we're looking at the I am statements in the Gospel of John. There's 7 of them. We're going to be looking at 5 over the month of May. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus asks his disciples this question: who do you say that I am? Years ago, an astrophysicist, Michael Hart, wrote a book called The 100. And in the book, he lists the 100 most influential people in the world: Gutenberg and the Gutenberg Press, Einstein, Christopher Columbus, Sigmund Freud. Where do they all line up? He placed Jesus of Nazareth, number 3, behind Isaac Newton and Muhammad, the founder of Islam. And so Michael Hart is getting at the question that we all need to grapple with: what do you make of Jesus Christ? What do you make of him? Where does he fit in your life? So for some of you who are tuning in, you know where he fits. He is Lord and Savior. For others, you're not sure. But we are so glad that you would take time to explore this question with us of who Jesus actually is. The I am statements of Jesus in John's Gospel provide us with Jesus in present tense: I am. So as we go through this series, the cool invitation is to think of you having this conversation with Jesus right now in real time. It's a Starbucks with Jesus. You've got your tall Americano, you're walking out of Starbucks, and you see that is Jesus of Nazareth sitting there, and he welcomes you to sit down. And as you're talking, you say, Jesus, tell me about you. Here's what he would say. He is going to say, I am Jesus in present tense. So we're going to look at John chapter 10, and Jesus saying in that conversation with us, I am the good shepherd. You see, Jesus just is an ancient reality or an ancient person, historical figure. He is for us and for you today, right now, relevant. So what we're going to see in John chapter 10, if you don't have your Bibles, grab a Bible. Please have your Bible out. We are still Bible people, even though we're online. Grab your Bible, John chapter 10. If you're online, just go. And you don't have a Bible, just search for John chapter 10 in the NIV or the New International Version. You'll see what I'm seeing here. John chapter 10, verse 11. And what we're going to see is that Jesus is good, he is close, he is welcoming, and he is God. He is good, he is close, he is welcoming, and he is God. So let's look in, first of all, to John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus says, I am, Jesus in present tense, I am the good shepherd. See, this idea of Jesus being a good shepherd or God being a shepherd is not a new thing in John chapter 10. It's all through the scriptures of God seeing himself and being, using this metaphor, as a good shepherd, as Israel, his nation, is wandering through the desert. God uses this image that God is a shepherd and Israel is the sheep, and he holds the sheep tenderly as they walk through the wilderness. As you think about big, massive characters in the Old Testament, Moses was a shepherd before he was the shepherd of Israel. David, King David, was a shepherd of sheep before he met Goliath and then led Israel. This idea of shepherding, of leadership, is close to who God is, which is interesting that God uses this image to describe his reality, his activity, his leadership, and his care. This goes against the ideals of the Western idea of leadership, of power, of coercion, of control, of getting to the top. No, no, no. God right away is showing himself to be close. He's not a tyrant. He is not power hungry. He's not distant. He is approachable. So Jesus in John 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. So when I think about Jesus being the good shepherd, I think about my time in Israel. And in the south of Israel, in the desert, you see shepherds all the time. Bedouins, they're called. Bedouin shepherds. And so you can see, as these pictures are scrolling now, you can see what this image brings to mind, as this was in Israel. These pictures were taken in Israel. It's hot. It's dirty. It's dry. There is no water. It's usually a teenager with a herd of sheep. He's throwing rocks to warn the sheep to not go there so the sheep come back. He's herding these sheep. And this is the image that Jesus attaches to himself. In verse 11, at the second half, I am the good shepherd. Why? Because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down himself. Why is he good? He is good because he lays his life down. You see, a shepherd usually lives because of the sheep. If he needs some money, he sells the sheep. If he's hungry or if he's cold, he slaughters the sheep. That the sheep exist for the shepherd, not the other way around. Jesus is turning this whole paradigm upside down because he's saying, I exist actually for the benefit of the sheep, that I lay my life down for these sheep. If you want to know why Jesus is good, you have to understand, according to Jesus, his sacrificial love demonstrated on the cross. If you want to know God, you have to know Jesus. If you want to know who Jesus is, you have to know his cross. That's central to Jesus's understanding of himself and his goodness is his cross, and central to our understanding of the goodness of God is the death and resurrection of Jesus. This is what is called gospel centrality. And it is a core value for us as a church that we just believe that the death and resurrection of Jesus is not the diving board into Christianity. It is the pool in which we swim. I'll say that again. The cross and resurrection of Jesus is not the diving board into Christianity. It's the pool in which we swim. We never lose awe over the cross and his sacrificial love as demonstrated in his death and resurrection. And so the people who are bored in their faith, the people who are yawning, the people who are backsliding, the people who are faithless, like me in my life at points, has been because we have lost touch with the cross, with the love of Jesus on the cross. We all have gospel amnesia, and Jesus as a good shepherd is reminding us the reason he's good is because of the cross. So if Jesus is the good shepherd, we extend the metaphor, we are the sheep. It's not supposed to be insulting. It's not insulting, but he's saying we are sheep. And sheep are herd animals. They're not very smart. You're a smart person. Don't take offense to it. But we're sheep. Even social sciences show through experiments that we conform to established patterns of behavior and belief, that all of us follow something or someone. All of us follow something or someone, an ideology. Maybe it's the secular script of our culture. You are following an idea. Maybe it's another religion. Maybe it's your own idea of what is good. Maybe you're following this abstract idea of you want to be a good person. You're following something or someone. All of us are doing it. So some people say, oh, no, no, no. I'm independent. I don't follow anything or anyone. Well, what I'd say is by having no dogma or no belief, that in itself is a belief. So we all do it. We all follow something or someone. When I think about this, I think of my high school years. I dressed differently then than I do now. I dyed my hair black. It was long. I had pierced ears. I had black pants. I listened to music that my mom was terrified of, metal music. I skateboard, went to punk rock shows. I wore skulls, sweaters, and I had my own studded belt. I made it myself. That was Chris in high school, and it was me expressing my teenage angst and my rebellion against the status quo. The funny thing is as I look back, I was independent enough to be like everybody else. All of my friends were doing the exact same thing. We all follow something or someone. And what Christianity says is that we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have left the care and attention and leadership of God, and we're astray. We are wandering. We're lost. See, sheep are not trainable. You've never seen a sheep in a circus before, ever. Because they just wander without any leadership. And spiritually speaking, this is the metaphor that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We're all spiritually lost. We're all wandering. We all don't know. That phrase, black sheep. You know, you have kind of the normal patterns, and then I'm the black sheep of the family. Christianity comes and says, all of us, me included, we are black sheep wandering without leadership. And so Jesus contrasts his good leadership with a hired hand. In verse 12, it says, "The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing of the sheep." In the absence of God's leadership and care in our lives, we have followed hired hands who care nothing about us, who do not know that we exist. Whether it's money or a car or things, that we have given our attention, our life, our love to hired hands. We have followed the wrong relationship, the wrong guy, the wrong woman, the wrong whatever it is, and they have left us wanting because they were just there to get. When Jesus, as a good shepherd, is there to give. So hired hands are there to get. Jesus is there to give. That Jesus is the good shepherd. That's my first idea. Verse 14 says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Again, it's this like bright shining lights. If you want to know the goodness of the shepherd, you have to know his sacrificial death on the cross. And what this is saying is that we are known. This is relationship with the good shepherd. And what Jesus is doing is he connects it to his Father and the Son. So Christianity says there's a Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, co-equal and co-eternal. And what Jesus is saying is that as the Father and the Son have been in relationship, knowing, loving, serving, honoring each other for eternity past, that same relationship Jesus has with the sheep. It's relationship. It's closeness. See, Christianity is not just a dogma or a creed to be believed. It's not a worldview that you believe in, although it is that. It is much more than that. It is a relationship to enjoy, that Jesus exists as our good shepherd, that we would know him and he would know us. And if we settle for less, if Christianity, if Jesus is only something that you know intellectually, but have never heard his voice, have never had a relationship with him, you are missing out on the purpose of this whole thing. The Christianity doesn't just exist to make you moral and squeaky clean and your kids moral and squeaky clean. No, this is a person to love, not a dogma to just be believed. And so because of that, what Jesus does in verse 3-5 of John chapter 10 is he says, the sheep hear his voice. We hear his voice. Tim Laniak is a Harvard-educated professor at a seminary called Gordon-Conwell Seminary in the eastern seaboard of the United States. For a sabbatical year, he went and studied and lived with and interviewed Bedouin shepherds or Middle Eastern shepherds as they were doing their craft. He shares two great stories. As a shepherd, you're out in the desert by yourself. It's a lonely thing. So oftentimes, shepherds come together and just talk, right? They're alone. They got their sheep. And so as they're talking, their sheep just intermingle, right? Hundreds of sheep all together. After they're done talking, relaxing, hanging out, they leave. And what the shepherds will do, and Laniac says this, what the shepherds will do is they will have a call, or they'll play a note on a flute or something similar, and the sheep will know the shepherd's voice and know the shepherd's call and will scatter back to their shepherd. It speaks of closeness, of relationship, of intimacy. He interviewed an affluent shepherd, or affluent shepherd in the Middle East, one that would have a hired hand if he wanted to, but he doesn't. And here's what this shepherd says as he's being interviewed by Tim Laniac. He says, I am with the sheep every day. In the summer, I sleep outside with them too. If I weren't with them every day, I shouldn't be their shepherd. Jesus is close. He's relational. He wants to know you. He wants you to hear his voice on how life works best, about relationships and business in a pandemic, about sexuality, about who you're supposed to marry, about the path forward after this moment. Jesus is close as your good shepherd. He is good. He is close. Thirdly, he is welcoming. Verse 16 says, I have sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. What you need to understand is that the Jewish people thought that the Gentiles, this other group, would never be included into the plans of God. But yet this whole passage in John chapter 10 is Jesus speaking against these religious elite Jewish people and saying, you don't understand that my mission, my love, my welcoming is for everybody, not just the religious elite Jewish people, but for everybody, that both Jew and Gentile are welcomed into his love and into his relationship, which is so important for us. Because if you're tuning in and you think Christianity is just for the pristine and the people who have it all together, it's not. It's for the ruined. It's for the rebel. It's for the rejected. It's for the ruined person. That Christianity, Jesus's leadership, his self-sacrificing love, is for every single person, regardless of your past, regardless of whether you relapsed this week or not, regardless of how you have treated him, talked about him, or treated people that loved him, that Jesus is welcoming for you and me today. The problem is our pride to come under his care and his leadership. The problem isn't with Jesus or who he is and what he's done. The problem is with we don't want to be led. That's the problem. And that's what sheep don't want to be led. We want to do our own thing. We want to be autonomous. We want to be free. But it's our pride that doesn't allow this to happen. In another place, Jesus talks about his loving pursuit, that he's got 99, he counts them, he's got one missing. He goes and he searches for that lost sheep. And it says that he has to actually take the sheep. Unlike a lost family pet, if it's lost, you call its name, it comes running back to you. See, a sheep doesn't even know that it's really lost. It's in danger, but it doesn't know that it's lost. And so Jesus has to come and kind of tie it up and put it on its shoulder and bring it back. And I believe that's the ministry of Jesus for some of you today. For some of you today, you are like de-churched. You grew up in it. You didn't like it. You had an atheist professor in a university class. You wanted to party. You didn't like the constraints. You've done life, but you've realized that you have followed something or someone and it's not delivered on what you wanted it to. You sought love in relationships with another person, they left. Jesus today, for you de-church people, grew up in this and have left, Jesus is pursuing you. For those unchurched people, never been in, regardless of what you think about the church or history, you need to come to grips with Jesus and his love and what he has done for you, that Jesus is radically welcoming for you today, friend, wherever you are. He is your good shepherd, that he wants to love and he wants to lead you right now. So Jesus is good. He is close in relationship. He is welcoming. It is not just for those people who grew up in this. It's for everybody. And then finally, Jesus is God. Verse 17 and 18 says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Third time, he links his good shepherd nature and his sacrificial death. He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So we need to take this metaphor of Jesus being the good shepherd and just put it on the shelf for a second. Because it could be too easy for us to think of Jesus as kind of like the German Jesus, right? He's blonde hair, blue eyes, beauty sash, you know, he's just kindly like kind of petting a sheep and not consider him or grapple with him as God. Because this is what he's saying here. I have authority to put my life down, to sacrifice it, and to pick it up again. That we have life because of Jesus' death and his resurrection. I love it in verse 19. It says, the Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? And I think that's a question for us. Why listen to Jesus? Why? If he's number three, number five on your top 100, why listen to him? The reason that you have to listen to him is because he is God. He has the power as God to die and to rise again, which is what we celebrated a while ago at Easter. That Jesus says that he became lost so that you would never be, that he dies a death on the cross to defeat the spiritual enemies that you and I have in our life. The wayward nature away from God to things that are destructive in our lives. Jesus died for those things, for our addictions, for our wayward attitudes, for our pride. That Jesus was lost so that you would never have to be in your life and in your death. Because of the resurrection, Jesus has defeated death forever. So at the beginning of John's gospel, there's a guy named John the Baptist. And when he sees Jesus, John records John saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Christianity says that Jesus is the only shepherd who knows what it's like to be a sheep. I realize we're mixing metaphors here, but Jesus is the only shepherd who knows what it's like to be a sheep. And this is the incarnation of Jesus, that he became human. He knows what it's like to live in this body as a human. But he did so 100% human and 100% God. And so Christianity says that Jesus, that God became human, that God came to us to show us the way, that God came down to settle our spiritual debt, that God pursued and chased after you by becoming human. It's not about what you do to get to God, but rather what God in Christ has done to get to you, to die and to be raised again to life. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus is a good shepherd, but listen, he is God. So as you sit down with Jesus at Starbucks, Jesus, you need to know, is a real person who died, who rose again, and wants to be in relationship with you. The thing is, and the question is, will we come under his care? Will we come under his care? Sheep don't want to be led. We want to do things on our own. So there is this conflict. There is this struggle of giving up authority in your life to come under the care of somebody else's. You're doing it anyway. The question is, would they and have they sacrificed everything for you? So today, as we think about unstoppable truth in this time, Jesus is welcoming you to come under his care if you've relapsed. And the shame and the guilt of that moment, of giving up sobriety for the sake of that one hit and having to face the outcome of that for you and your family and your friends who believed in you, you're welcome to come under his care again. He wants relationship with you. You're welcome to come under his care today if you've lost your job and you're uncertain. You don't know how you're going to provide. You don't know how you're going to pay for your property taxes this year. You don't know how you're going to pay for your car insurance. You're waiting on government funds and you are stressed. You're welcome to come under his care, his love. You're welcome to come under his care today if you're journeying with somebody who is sick, somebody who is in the hospital on a ventilator. I know somebody in that moment right now. We're praying, Jesus, would you restore health? Would you bring health to this person? But Jesus, we know that you have power in life and love in life and also over death too. You're welcome to come under his care if you're sick yourself. Maybe you're tuning in from your hospital bed and you have COVID-19 or from your bed. And Jesus, as a good shepherd, is welcoming you to come under his loving care. anxious because of the economy. Maybe for some of us, we have asked for physical healing. We have prayed, God, would you heal me of this disease, of this ailment? And he hasn't. And you're disappointed. And you don't know why. And you have questions. Jesus in present tense is welcoming you into relationship that you would know his voice. You're welcome to come under his care. If you're a college student, you don't know what the future holds. Man, are my classes going to be held in the fall? How am I going to pay for those things? What is the future direction of my life? Do I marry this person? Do I not? What do I do? He wants to speak to you about those things as your good leader, as your good shepherd. Maybe for some of us, you're de-churched, as I mentioned before. And you're wondering in this moment with the uncertainty, you're kind of realizing, my goodness, what have I left? And you are the one that has left the 99. I want to say, man, today it's such good news that Jesus is welcoming you back. He's calling you by name, back to himself. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. Christians have hurt you immensely. You have wounds. You just don't trust leaders. You don't trust the church. If you can, just for a second, just kind of split that, just clear the table a little bit and sit down with Jesus in present tense and hear his voice again about how he has died for you, how he loves you, how he has died and rose again, that to defeat the spiritual enemies that you face in your life, to bring you hope and peace in this time, to be connected to the God of the universe because of his cross and resurrection. He is your good shepherd, friend. For those of you who are just tuning in, you wouldn't consider yourself a Christian, but you are exploring. Consider, grapple with Jesus in this way. I am your good shepherd. How can you be sure that he is good? How do you know that he is good? You can be sure that he is good because he has laid his life down for you. If he does this, what won't he do for you? You are following something or someone. The question is, does it or would they lay their life down for you? Jesus has, and he is your good shepherd. Lord Jesus, I just realized the immense challenge of this time and all of this struggle. For some of us, it hasn't affected us and we carry on life just a little bit more restricted than normal. For others of us, we are in the thick of it and we need your leadership. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are approachable, that you are not distant, that you care for us. You desire relationship with us, that you are just not a worldview that we adhere to, but a person that we love. And Lord, we need your leadership in this time. As a church, we need your leadership. In our lives, we need your leadership. In our businesses, we need your leadership and your wisdom, God. So we seek it. We humble ourselves. We renounce the pride that would keep us from you, keep us wandering, keep us lost. And we come back to you as our good shepherd. And we relinquish, we surrender, and we say, Jesus, would you lead us? We thank you for the cross and the resurrection again. For those of us who are bored with it, who are not in awe of who you are and what you've done, Jesus, I pray you would snap us out of that in your name. We would realize again the depth and height of the love that it is in Jesus Christ for us. Oh God, we need you. Draw close to us today. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, I pray, because I don't have authority in and of my own to pray it. I say, amen. Thank you. We'll see you next week.